open your eyes, says the Lord. Not the eyes of your natural understanding, not even the eyes of your natural feelings, but open the eyes of your spirit, says the Lord. Open the eyes of who you are. Open the eyes of the new creation I have made you to be, and behold and see the world around you. Open your eyes and see yourself in heavenly places. Open your eyes and see that you're brand new. See that you're righteous. See the good works I've placed before you as my workmanship. See the power of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you. See the greater one. See the promises that are yours. See the promises that are yes and amen. Open your eyes, says the Lord. Open your eyes and see this world that you've been born into. I didn't leave you in that old place. I transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my dear son. Open your eyes in that kingdom. Look around you and see where I've placed you. See the glory that's around you. See through this world. See through the flesh. See through this world system. See into all the good works I've placed before you. See into the precious friendships, the precious people that I've placed in your lives. See the family of God. See the glory of God. You are here for such a time as this, says the Lord. I had you born here now. The good works I've ordained you, I ordained before the foundations of the world for you for now. You've not been born out of time. You have not been born out of time. You were born for such a time as this. Don't be shaken by this world. Don't be shaken by what's going on around you. You were born for this time. You have the courage for this time. You have the courage to stare down Goliaths in this day. I've placed you here. I've placed you now. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. See who you are in me. See me. I'm the finisher of your faith. I began this good work in you, and I'm going to complete it until my return. Open your eyes. Oh, there's more with you than there are with them. Open your eyes. See this world I've had you born into. Oh, you're the head and not the tail. I'm for you. I'm with you. No weapon will formed against you will prosper. Oh, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Nothing can separate you in this world from my love for you. There's no trial. There's no test. There's no deficiency. There's no attack. There's no persecution. There's no demon in hell that can get between you and the love that I have for you. Open your eyes. See that love. See me. See my heart for you this morning. Open your eyes. Praise you, Father.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you all here this morning. And what a great way to get started with a service, just kind of opening your eyes, opening your eyes and receiving the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, no matter how much you know, understand, have experienced the grace of God, there is just a continual, fresh appreciation for His amazing grace every day of our life. And just these, you know, the thing that I love about this too is just the ability to come together as the family of God and partake of this as a meal. Like I said, I'm glad God didn't set it up as a like a monthly theology test that we all had to take to make sure that we're still on track, you know, true or false or something like that. No, it's a precious family meal that we come together and we're reminded and refreshed of God's love for us all over again. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead and start this morning in a passage of Scripture in the book of Acts. And this is the story of the Apostle Paul and really how he comes to faith. Of course, before the Apostle Paul was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul. He was the great persecutor of the church. And so this is his testimony. This is kind of his story of how he comes to faith. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" This is a very simple little, you know, exchange between the Apostle Paul and the Lord. But in this simple little exchange, when he's, you know, blinded, you know, by the Lord, and he's just asking, you know, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord just simply tells him who he is. He's Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And then he gives him a very specific instruction. "Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." You know, I'm sure the Apostle Paul, at that time he's Saul, would have loved to have a little bit more info than maybe just that. You know, go here and then it will be told you what you're going to do. But the reason why this little exchange is so, profound is because so many times when God is working with us and we're going through life trying to navigate where to go, what to do, that is so many times the way it happens. God is going to give us kind of this next step, this little instruction. And again, this is not a direct discussion of what's going to happen. It's a very indirect instruction to just go to a place. And ironically, in that place of Damascus, there's a guy named Ananias. And then the Lord just spills his heart to Ananias about Paul. He said, "This guy is going to do, you know, go before kings. He's going to experience suffering for my name's sake." You know, he goes on about God's plan for Paul to Ananias. And then Ananias becomes the delivery guy, the messenger for the Lord, and then goes and tells Paul, "This is what the Lord's going to be doing in your life." This is such an amazing thing when you look at the ways of the Spirit and the way God will navigate and work in our lives. And so many times as we're going through things, we're dealing with situations, we have these big questions. "Lord, what do you want me to do? Where am I supposed to go?" And a lot of times God's going to just give us a little simple one-liner, a little response, a little starting point to begin to work with. You know, and I'm talking about big stuff, big issues. You know, it could be, you know, moving, changing jobs, schools, having children, dealing with sick situations. And it's like, come on, this is big stuff. You know, I need big direction. But you're getting little things, a little word, a little direction, a little nugget of truth to begin to discern and navigate what God wants you to do. And so this morning, I'm simply entitling the message here, Navigating Life. Now, you might be familiar with that road. That's the road, the Drunken Sailor Road. Is that what they call that? Yeah. See if you, do you drive that by the turns or do you drive that one straight through in a straight line? Come on. We won't have any confessions here this morning. But it's one of those rows that kind of shows how you're swerving back and forth. And many times as you're discerning direction and navigating life, it can kind of feel like that. You know, I'm getting a little bit here. I'm getting a little bit there. I just, you know, the writing in the sky, the big picture, the blueprint, rarely do you ever see that full. We're called to walk by faith and not by sight. So we're going to get faith in things. You know, even the great Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys, you know, he'd be going to, you know, Bithynia, nope, Asia Minor, nope, Macedonia, okay, and kind of look a little swervy. And this is the great Apostle Paul, you know, preaching the gospel to the known world. You think if anybody would have the perfect blueprint of exactly where to go in the path, you'd think it'd be Paul. He didn't. He was like us. He was getting things in his spirit. He was doing the best he knew to navigate and to discern where the Lord wanted him to go. Now, in navigating life, we're basically going to take a simple little template that we saw between the Lord and the Apostle Paul and see how that works out and plays out in our lives. So the first aspect of navigating life would be simply what we'd simply call ask for directions. Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Jesus gives us some really clear instruction along those lines. He simply says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. You know, this morning when we took communion, I can know what that cup represents. I can know what represents the grace of God. I can even partake of the cup in a physical way. But I have to be decisive and say, no, it's not just that I know that. I receive forgiveness. I receive cleansing. I'm intentional about receiving what that cup represents, right? And I can know theologically the Lord loves me. I know he's going to guide me. I can know he's going to do different things. But, you know, there have been things in my life where I've just obsessed over what to do. And it just really dawned on me, you know, I never really prayed about that. And you can obsess and think and ask your friends and your family and your neighbors, but until you've prayed, you haven't prayed. That sounds pretty profound. But until you've prayed, you haven't given the Lord anything to respond to. Until you acknowledge him in all your ways, he has nothing to direct. In other words, prayer is a big deal. It's a big deal. The older I get in the Lord, you know, and if you had asked me, like the Bible, do I believe the Bible is the Word of God? Yes, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. But you know, I believe it more today than I ever have in my life. Because your life continues to bump up against it, and the reality that it's the Word of God becomes bigger and bigger. Prayer is kind of the same way too. Is prayer important? Well, yeah, prayer is important. But the more you grow up spiritually and go in life and begin to pray and begin to get answers, it's like, wow, prayer is really important. You know, it's like something you know, you begin to know. You begin to see it bigger and bigger. And so one of the things that we got to do in terms of kind of navigating life is we've got to be able to humble ourselves and ask for directions. That very specific, deliberate time of saying, okay, Lord, show me what to do. Now, here's kind of the way it will take place in the form of a few prayers the Apostle Paul gave us. In Ephesians, he said, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in your knowledge of God, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So this is a prayer you can personalize. In other words, it wasn't just a matter of the Apostle Paul praying it for the Ephesians. This is a New Testament prayer that we can pray for ourselves. We can say, Lord, I thank you. I pray that you would give me that spiritual wisdom and insight so that I may grow in your knowledge, that the eyes of my understanding might be enlightened, that I may know what is the hope of your calling. That's my prayer. Now, you're praying that by faith. And I know when we're in production mode and we want to know mode, it's humbling to just stop and pray a prayer like this, Lord, show me, lead me, guide me. Because there's no intellectual satisfaction in praying it. It is simply an act of faith where I'm humbling my understanding and I'm acknowledging him in this way. And again, we acknowledge him in all our ways. So there may be some ways you've acknowledged him, but there may be some ways that we kind of hold to ourselves. And those are some of those areas too. The Holy Spirit will say, you know what? Pray about that. Be very specific, very deliberate about this. I want to respond. I want to help you. You know, there can be areas of even frustration or agitation that you have, that you've kind of built a little shell around, and you've never really given it to the Lord specifically. The Lord wants to be able to get in those places, but we got to be able to ask for direction. So that's one way. That's a good prayer. Another prayer here is Colossians. Paul here again says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, new living. So we've not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding." Again, that's a beautiful prayer to personalize. "Lord, I pray that you would fill me with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." These can be just good places to begin to start. And it's not just in a general sense. "Lord, I want you to fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding regarding this situation, regarding that decision. I want to know your will. I want to know the mind of your spirit in that matter, Lord." We got to ask, seek, knock. That's our part. You know, Jesus said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Right? God doesn't set things up like this really 15 level deep math problem that you got to figure out and crack the code and aha. He sets things up in a way that whosoever will can follow his plan for their life. You don't have to have a certain intellectual or IQ. He's just looking for that childlike faith that'll say, "Lord, what do you want me to do with this?" Then he can respond to that. Grace coming into the kingdom of God, living for him. There is a simplicity that he brings us back to in all this. Now, I'll say this too, that a lot of times the reason why we hold out is we kind of learn to live on top of stuff without really asking. But at some point, you experience what I call a divine dissatisfaction. In other words, no, something's got to change here. This isn't going to stay the same. Something is going to change. Something is going to be different. And, you know, when you don't know, a lot of times it'll create a dissatisfaction because you want clarity. You know, 21 years and 4 months ago, Julie and I and our family were so excited because we got direction. We're coming to Door County to start a church. But 21 years and 5 months ago, I didn't know what was going on. And I was frustrated, you know. And so there are those inflection points where you don't know, but I was frustrated, but I remember I was beginning to ask and seek and knock and beginning to do things, you know, do things that I hadn't done before in preparing and opening my heart. And, you know, when you're sensing that dissatisfaction, pay attention to that. I had a pastor who was very wise once who told me, and this is back in, let's see, we graduated in 92 from Rhema, and it was 94 that we started attending this church. And he looked at Julie and I, and he said, "You want to know something?" He said, it was kind of an interview. We're going to join the church and getting to know each other a little bit and that kind of a thing. And he knew we were Bible school graduates and whatnot. And we were so excited because we had been seeking God, and we knew this was the church. We were excited. There was that new church excitement and zeal and all that kind of stuff going on. And he looked at me and he said, "You know, Ed, there's going to come a day when you're not going to feel satisfied to be here anymore." I thought, wow, that's kind of an interesting thing to say. I'm excited and all that. He said, "Now, I know you're excited. We're excited to have you. And this is great. And we're going to use it." And they used me wonderfully. I got a lot of training and equipping in my 6-7 years at this church. But he said, "There will come a day when you're going to feel dissatisfied to be here." He said, "Now, when that day comes," he said, "don't think I've lost the anointing." He said, "Don't think the people around you aren't as spiritual and don't love God as much as you do anymore." He said, "Just recognize that there's a stirring that's going on the inside of you. And don't be critical when that stirring happens. Begin to pay attention to it. Begin to pray about it. Begin to pray it out." It was so wise. I mean, he spoke this over me 7 years before it was going to happen. And he was right. And sure enough, God, there was this stirring. And there's like, something has got to change, you know. And I began to pray out and begin to seek God in some of these different areas. And as I began to do that, you know, God began to show me some things. But you know, when you pray stuff out, it's not like a drive-through McDonald's. It's not like I place my order here and I go and pick it up and in 35 seconds I'm going to have my answer. There's going to be a praying and there's going to be a listening. Back in the olden days, in the 70s, maybe in the 80s too, I don't know, we'd have the call-in radio shows where you'd call in to the disc jockey and have him play your favorite song. And then you would sit by the radio and listen for them to play your song. And it's like, yeah, that was the old way of being an influencer back in the day, you know. You'd request your song and hope they play it, you know, that kind of a thing. But the thing of it was is, you know, you'd make that request, but then you're listening for that song. And you're staying tuned in and you're listening. And that's a big part of the asking too. It's not just asking. I mean, you can cast the care of something over on the Lord and the pressure of having to figure it out, granted. But we keep listening. We keep a listening ear for what God is saying about that. And it's an amazing thing. When you begin to think about that and think on that, you begin to see stuff. Yeah, this works in the natural, too. I remember the first time Julie was pregnant. All of a sudden, I would notice pregnant ladies. I don't know why. I'd notice pregnancy stuff. It was just so on my mind. I began to just notice it. I began to be aware of it. You know, and it's kind of the same way too. When you begin to pray about something, put it on your heart and your mind, say, Lord, begin to show me, guide me. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can conduct and weave beautiful tapestry between things you say and prayers you've prayed and begin to show you things. And you begin to get things. You begin to pick things up. You begin to pick things up in your spirit on it. So there is that asking, that intentional asking. But then there's also taking that next step. And that's basically what you're hearing. What's coming through the radio? What's coming through that spiritual signal that you're getting from the Lord? And here's a few different ways that we can hear. This is a few different ways that we can get that response to the prayers that we pray. One of the ways is this: for God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. One of the ways that he'll work in you is by desire. There will be just, all of a sudden you've got the patience for something maybe you didn't have patience for before. All of a sudden, you want to look at something. You want to research something out. There's a desire. There's a hunger. It could be an area in the Word of God. It could be just to pursue something that maybe you've been putting off. Sometimes there can be areas of procrastination, and you pray out something, and all of a sudden, there's an energy to get something done that you've been kind of living on top of for a while. But you sense there's, and that energy is a response and answer to prayer. There's a working in you that all of a sudden you begin to get clarity, and it's like, do this. And it's basically just that next thing, that next step that he has you to do. Because one of the things, when you sense that desire, that purpose, and you act on it, you get confidence in your own ability to hear God, and your ears get more attuned the more you begin to respond to what God wants you to do. And so there's a desire that's on the inside of you, and so you pay attention to desire. Pay attention to things that come up in your mind. If you're getting something that is a profound thought, and you've been praying, write it down. Write it down. Keep track of it. How many times we get that profound thought and we think, man, I'm never going to forget that. And later that day, you're going, oh, what was it? It was so good. And sometimes that can be some answers in those good little nuggets. It's responding to it. It's acting on it. It's putting it before your eyes. And so there is that. There's going to be the Lord working in you to will and to do. Here's another thing Jesus said, kind of along these lines of communicating supernaturally. He said, if anyone wills to do his will, he's talking about his Father's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. In other words, he's saying, am I just talking out of my own head, or am I speaking on behalf of God? He says, if a man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know, have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking from myself on my own accord or on my own authority. In other words, when we're kind of going through things, we get that same battle. Is this me or is it God? You know, is this just me or is this just something I want to do or is this God? All right. Jesus is saying you're going to have that ability to discern, to know when something's from God. You're going to know whether it is coming from Him. There's going to be a sense of divine purpose in it. There's going to be a sense of knowing that it is from above. Like I said, when my pastor told me, you know, there's coming a day when you're going to be dissatisfied, you know, to be here, you know, and he was right, that day came, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I didn't know what I was exactly supposed to do next, because it's not like I had a bunch of good options, you know. The school that I went to was offering another year of Bible school, and I thought, man, I could just get further equipped. I had a pastor who was going out to pioneer a church, and we thought, man, we could help him out, or we could begin to just pioneer our own new church, our new work somewhere, you know. Again, these are not like you're choosing between good and evil. It's just good choices, but which one? And there, it's an important choice. It's a life-affecting choice, so it's a big choice. And so I remember just as we were, you know, just seeking God and praying, like I said, I'd ask. What I did, and this is kind of a very practical thing, I just literally took a piece of paper and I just drew some little T-charts. I said, you know, going to Bible school another year, starting a new church, helping our pastor, you know, and did the pros and the cons. All right? Now, that's just something that I'm doing. I'm just kind of getting all the different thoughts out of my heart. But here's the thing. When you get that out and you got options and choices, then you can pray over those things and then listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying on the inside, all right? I'm not having to try to get it right the first time in the first one. I'm doing a process here. I'm doing a process of listening and taking that next step. It's not cheating to put all the options out there and to pray over them and see what you get. So I did that, and I remember saying, Lord, what about this? You know, maybe it is just going back to Bible school another year. And maybe it is pioneering that new work. You know, we were looking at the Woodbury Hudson area at the time, you know, back in the, you know, back in 20, 21 years ago. And then, or we had our pastors, associates from the churches, they were going out to pioneer a new work, you know, but it was, you know, it was about a good 50 miles away from our house. And so you'd have that drive. We had four little kids and, you know, so pros, that was a con, you know, that driving with all those little kids. Caleb wasn't even a year old at the time, maybe a year, year and a half. So it was, but the pros, you know, were good too. It was like, man, I could, you know, help start a new church and see what that's like and go through the exercise of it. So there is pros and cons to every choice. But here's the thing. When I did that exercise and I prayed over those things, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. And he simply said this. He said, of those three options, which one keeps coming back to you the most? I thought, wow, helping my pastor start that church, no doubt. But then you look at the pros and the cons. But when I began to look at the pros, I began to say, yeah, helping start that church, seeing what it's like to get things going, seeing what it's like to develop a core group, seeing what it's like, you know, to establish the different ministries in the church. And then as soon as I began to look at that, then the Lord began to speak and began to prophesy through me. And I wrote all that down. I said, yes, and this will be like another year of Bible school, only it'll be real life practical experience that'll help you and prepare you for the future when I call you to start that new work someday. You know, and it's like, wow, praise God, cool. And then I had it, then I knew. And I'll say this too, if you're married, especially, and you got that situation, it's good to pray about it for yourself just for a couple. I remember somebody in one of our teachers in Bible school said, you know, if it's God today, it's going to be God tomorrow. You know, Satan is the opposite way. He's high pressure, act now, or else you're going to miss your... God is very quiet, subtle, very peaceful. It was, you know, and it's like, if it's God today, it could be God. I wake up the next day, it's like, yeah, this is still right. This still bears witness. This is good. And I remember I went to Julie and said, this is what I got in my heart. I said, you pray about it. We're going to come back in a week and we're going to compare notes. So she prayed about it. Same thing, came back and thought, yeah, this is it. This is our decision. And so we made that decision. It was like, we knew right away. It was so good. And they got the witness, of course, our pastors and with us helping them out. And it was exactly the way the Lord said it would be. It was like going to Pioneering Church Bible School 101, you know, as we kind of did it right alongside them. But we weren't the main people. We were in the background and we were learning. You know, they're the ones out in front, you know, and yet they loved us. You come alongside people who love you and believe in you, that's the best Bible school you can have, you know? And so it was a really amazing opportunity. But I remember thinking, what am I going to do? But just taking those steps and then beginning to make that next decision. So the Lord alerts you. He alerted me by His Spirit. That's how He told me. What is that thing that keeps coming back to you? Then finally, you know, the scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace from Christ's rule act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. And this is another wonderful indicator that we have from the Lord. Not only is there a desire that gets stirred up to do something or a revelation, but there's also a peace that leads us. And the great thing about the peace of God is you don't have to always understand everything. The Bible talks about the peace of God as a peace that can pass our understanding. In other words, you may be looking at options, and the Holy Spirit in you can call balls and strikes as far as what's Him and what isn't Him. And you might, you know, think, well, that looks pretty good, and there's just something about in your spirit that goes, ball, nope, that's not it. And you can't even explain exactly why. All you know is that it's a ball. You don't know why it's high or outside or whatever, just the peace of God. There's just something about things that the peace of God can lead and guide us. You know, this is why we're not leaning to our own understanding, but we are leaning. We're leaning on the peace of God. We're leaning on His direction. And even if the Spirit of God calls a strike, kind of come back there and say, wow, really? And you pursue those things. You pursue those things where you just got a supernatural peace of God. And again, we're not looking with natural eyes. We're looking with the eyes of our spirit. We're checking things out. And you can look at options like, I don't know why, this one just keeps coming back to me. All right? It doesn't necessarily mean that's the one, but that's the one you need to begin to pursue and take that next step. Because as you begin to go in that direction, the Lord is going to either further confirm it or not confirm it. But there's a peace of God that we can trust. There's a peace of God that can act as umpire. That's why I say balls and strikes. He can make those close calls in our heart. But again, this all has to start out with first asking directions, praying, seeking, knocking, doing whatever due diligence He shows you to do. Like I said, writing things out, writing out options, getting what's in your head on paper, and then beginning to look at that paper and listening on the inside in your own heart for the Spirit of God to give witness to things. Because a lot of times, again, like we said, God is just going to give you many times just that next step. In other words, you got this big situation. You're trying to figure out your way out, and He's just going to show you that one thing to do. I like to use the example of we had a little wiener dog named Sam. We have another little wiener dog named Romeo right now, but he has the same problem that Sam did. When we would let Sam out in the backyard, we had one pole, and he would just manage to get around that one pole and then be barking. We'd have to come outside and just get him around that pole. With Romeo, it's a hosta plant that we have, and he manages to get around that hosta. And same deal. And when he's barking, he's looking at you. He's stuck. His world has come to a stop. And this is very complicated, and he needs the master to get him free. And you're looking out there, and he's just like, and you're looking at me, you're trying to do this, like, come on, just go around. It's just like, all you got to do is get around. You know, it's so simple. His brain is about that big. You know, he's a tiny little guy. And it's like, come on, really? And so it's like, okay. And, you know, and it's the same with us. You know, we got our big situation, and we're praying, we're barking, right? And the Lord's coming, and it's like, this is too wonderful, you know, and for anybody, and God looks at us, you know. Well, He doesn't look at us probably the way I looked at Sam, but I will say that our situation is less complicated looking to him than it is to us, okay? And a lot of times, the only way I could get Sam, because I can't just instruct him, I just have to take him step by step. So he's around that, you know, if this is represents the pole that he's around, you know, so he goes outside, he's trying to come back in the house there, he doesn't have enough line, and so he's desperate looking at me. So I'll just come out to him, and I'll come around the side of the pole and say, come here, boy, come here, and he'll come to me really happy. I'll say, come on, boy, you can come here, and he'll come to me really happy. Come on, boy, you can do it. And then we just walk right in the house, and he's like, wow, my master's amazing. He's just like, I know. And a lot of times when we're looking at the Lord, what am I going to do out here, Lord? And the Lord just saying, come here, come here. Just do this one little thing. It's all you got to do, all right? You did it. All right, now just do this one more little thing. Okay, good. And then pretty soon, you begin to see things. It's like, wow, the master is amazing. But you don't have to figure it all out. You're just doing that next thing he's showing you to do. It's just one little thing. You're just doing that next step, and that's a big part of navigating. And, you know, when you do that one thing, then you know, God just gave Paul one instruction. He said, go to the city, and it will be told you what you must do. What if he hadn't gone to the city? He had to go to the city. He had to go there. And so sometimes it's a matter of saying, Lord, show me what you want me to do next. If there's something you've told me to do, I've forgotten. Show me it again. I'm ready. I'm ready to do that next thing, you know? And then finally, it's just simply stay the course. You know, that's where we're just staying the precious course that God's given us. Paul puts it this way. He said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Think about that. He enabled me, not because I was the most brilliant, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who's given me strength to do his work. He considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him. So many times when you're in those places where you're waiting for the go, we always kind of put the go ye, you know, when am I going to get the go ye? You know, I'm going to get that word from the Lord to just, you know, go forth and this big call. A lot of times you're doing this stuff, you know, you're obeying those little promptings, and what's happening is you're getting counted faithful. There's so much stuff that's on the inside of you. Sometimes you might have short little victories. You know, you have a little success, but it's like, come on, I know more than this. I'm better than this. You know, there's stuff going on in you. You know, it's like a little plant that's getting ready to pop its head out of the ground. There's the germination, the seed, there's a strength. And at the right time, it's going to pop its head out of the ground. And you're going to be equipped, and you're going to know, you're going to sense an enabling. It's not just power. It's power that's backed with faithfulness. It's backed by the faithfulness of God. And when you got that faithfulness, he can trust you with that power because he knows you know him. He knows you know where you got that enabling from. You know you got it from him. So he's working with you. He's establishing something in you. He's establishing a precious work in your heart. And as he's doing that, he's going to begin to enable you. And that's exactly what happens. There's a preparation time. And what does the Bible say? He says, God will exalt you in due time. Right? There is an exalting that God does, but it's an exalting in due time. And so, in other words, he will exalt you. He'll give you a place of influence when it's time, when you're ready, when you're faithful. Again, the world, Satan will exalt you out of due time. And when you're exalted out of due time, it's corrupting. But when you're exalted in due time, it's right. So even though there's some patience going on here, even though you may have some foresight of where you're going with this whole thing, it's okay. Just be patient, because then when the time comes, you're going to get enabled, and it'll be in due time. It'll be the right thing, in the right time, in the right way. And so there is that aspect of just staying the course. Paul tells the Philippians, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for you all with joy, for you've been my partners in the spreading of the gospel, in the spreading of the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's a beautiful promise. He began this good work in you. He will be faithful to complete it in you. Again, it's a beautiful way of that takes the pressure off of us. It says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask. I'm going to be faithful. But God is doing a work in me. And I can't do God's part. I can do my part. You know, one waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. And there's an increase that only God can give. You know, preachers, ministers, people who love you different can plant and water and sow. But there's a supernatural increase that can only come from God. And it's a beautiful thing. These are these seasons of increase that we experience. And what is that? That's God completing that work on the inside of you. There's those continual enablings that happen on the inside of you. And then finally, Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. In other words, it's very important as you're staying the course to realize it's not about just this destination that you feel like you're going to feel like you've arrived to do something for God. Every day, you're doing something. Every day in your preparation time, whatever you're doing for the Lord is never useless. It's impactful. Every prompting of the Holy Spirit, every word that you speak to a brother or sister in Christ, every act of kindness, everything, every gesture that you're doing is being kept track of just as sure as the hairs of your head. And you're going to see and know someday that ripple effect of everything you've done for the Lord. It is never useless. And as you're navigating this, as you're staying the course, as you're discerning that, know that every time you're staying tuned in, every time you're responding to one of those things, man, it is having impact for the kingdom of God. And so when it comes to navigating life, it's very simple. It's not, God didn't set it up to be complicated. He wanted it to be available for whosoever will. And so it is that way. And just remember that if you're dealing with something and maybe you're frustrated and you got some divine dissatisfaction or wondering what to do next, make sure you've prayed. Make sure you stop and ask for directions. This is where we are very deliberate and say, Lord, I'm going to pray about that by faith. I'm going to pray, humble myself as a little child, and lift that up to you as a prayer request. Sometimes when you begin to pray about things, you start praying about it and you'll begin to pray it out. And it's so beautiful how the Holy Spirit, you take that first step of faith to pray it out, and the Holy Spirit will go to places of your heart that maybe have been bothering you, and you get that all prayed out to the Lord. So this is a powerful way. We get it out. It's in His court. I'm trusting. I'm listening. I'm listening in different ways that He'll speak to me through the passions of the heart that He'll give me, through the revelation of the Spirit, through the peace of God. These are going to be different ways that He's going to get that across to me. In the meantime, I'm staying the course. I'm listening, doing what He shows me to do. But that's a life that's lived. It's a life of faithfulness, of simple requests. And this is such a beautiful picture because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who's guiding your life. I'll say this all the time at Door of Life. I'm your pastor, not your master. You know, I'm just here to help facilitate your walk with the Lord. You only have one Lord, Jesus Christ. And He is the one who is guiding your life. And He's the one who wants you to know that He loves you and is with you. And that He's going to speak to your heart. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. We thank You this morning that we have the ability to navigate life. That we can navigate it, Lord, by Your Spirit. That we can simply ask and that You respond to our heart. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, You are my Father. Lord Jesus Christ, You're the Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, You guide me into all truth. I thank You I have a Lord that I can ask questions and You hear me and You respond. Give me ears to hear. Fill me with the knowledge of Your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And I will respond to every direction, one at a time, knowing that I have grace for that instruction that You've given me everything I need, and I will stay the course. I will listen, and I will walk out every good work you've ordained for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, just a reminder, this is kind of a good start of a summer type of message as we're really getting this time, you know. It's summer, but it's also kind of a precious time of really seeking the Lord. It's a time of repose. It's a time of getting things in our spirit. And so I'm just praying that as we begin our summers this year, that we're going to come with that attitude, with that heart, to really receive, hear everything that God has for us. Amen. Praise God.